progress. Do keep your Bible open, page 978, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through to 5, verse 2. But before we get started, I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to ask the Lord for his help and that he might speak to us. So let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who speaks. We thank you that you have spoken through Jesus first and foremost. And we pray that as we hear from your word now, as you speak to us through this word, would your Holy Spirit be lifting our eyes up to the Lord Jesus, who is the word? Would we see that he's wonderful, and would we want to live in light of who he is and what he's done for us? Amen. Well, they say that a picture is worth a thousand words. Now, if you want to learn the true meaning of that phrase, go to a hairdresser with a very specific idea of what kind of haircut you're after and see what comes out the other end. If you want to get the right haircut, take a photo. A picture is worth a thousand words. Well, we're in Ephesians, carrying on there, and we've heard a lot from Ephesians about being who we are. But what does it actually look like in practice? We've seen various things, haven't we? We've seen that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We've seen that we were dead in sin, but we've been made alive by God's rich mercy and great love. We've seen that we've been reconciled to God and raised up in Christ. And we've seen as well that we have been reconciled to each other and become brothers and sisters in the church, which is a kaleidoscope kingdom. Ephesians tells us that as Christians, we don't need to become something different, but to be what we already are, to be what Christ has already made us to be. We thought about the oak tree a few weeks back, didn't we? A sapling is as much of a tree as a giant mature oak. It's just more mature, more fully the tree that it already was. And in the same way, we don't become something different as Christians. We just become more what we already are. But what does that look like on Monday morning? What does it look like when you're sitting an exam? Or what does it look like when you're walking into the workplace? Well, Paul here today in this passage gives us three different pictures. A picture is worth a thousand words. These three pictures are going to help us to understand more about what it looks like to be what we already are. The three pictures are these, and we'll see them as we go through. The first one is the way that we walk. The second one is what wardrobe are we wearing? And the third one is which way are we turned? The first two are quite visual, and the third is really practical. So let's get into it, shall we? Let's have a look. Have a look down there, chapter 4, verses 17. That's our first point there. And the first picture that Paul gives us is down there in 17. Do have a look down there. Paul starts off underlining, circling, putting big, bold highlights on what he's about to say. He says that he's saying and testifying this in the Lord. We're to sit up and take notice. The first picture is that they and we must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. We saw back in chapter 2 how God has brought together Gentile background believers and Jewish background believers together into this new community, the church, one new person made out of two. And by saying Gentiles here, he's bringing that in, that same thinking. These are people who are completely alienated from God. And he says, we must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Now, he's not literally talking about the way you walk. If you're of a certain age, you'll understand this reference to Monty Python's Ministry of Silly Walks, but a lot of you are a lot younger, so I'm not going to say that. No, this, in the New Testament, the way that we walk is a picture of how we live. We're to no longer live like we did before we became part of God's people. Have a look down there at verses 17, 18, and 19. Oh, and I wonder, just for a moment, have a look. And do you see the way that Paul describes how the Gentiles walk? How we all used to walk before he called us to be his? Do you see it down there? Well, verse 17 talks about being in the futility of their minds. Verse 18 talks about being darkened in understanding, alienated from the life of God, ignorant, hard-hearted. Verse 19 talks about becoming callous. You know what a callous is? You know, it's that tough bit of skin which is hardened and not bothered by the implications of what's going on. We're to, you know, not be like that, not to be callous. Do you see down there as well, talks about giving themselves up to sensuality, literally crossing over the boundaries of what's socially acceptable. They and we were greedy to do whatever we wanted. Now, because of God's common grace and kindness, not everyone is as bad as they can be all the time. But generally, this description stands true, doesn't it? Ignorant about God, alienated from God, hardened to God, and given ourselves over to whatever we wanted to do. That's what we were all like before Christ came to save us, when we were alienated from God. Ephesians put it this way a little bit earlier. We were spiritually dead in our trespasses and sin. But astonishingly, being rich in mercy, chapter 5, verse 2, have a look down there, Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Let that sink in for a second. Christ loved us. He came towards us. He gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to reconcile us back to God, so that rather than being alienated from God, we might be adopted as God's beloved children. Do you see that down there in chapter 5, verse 1? So Paul says, don't walk like you used to, but walk like Christ does. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, we're to imitate God, our Father, growing in the family likeness. I wonder, did you spot the change in the way that we walk? Rather than the way we used to live, which was giving ourselves up to sensuality and being greedy to practice every kind of impurity, we're to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up. So rather than giving ourselves up to sensuality, Christ gave himself up for us. Rather than being greedy to practice every kind of impurity, Christ generously gave himself up for us. So we're to be what we are. We're not to live as if we're alienated from God, but as his children, we're to imitate him in the way that he loves us as his children. So the first picture that Paul gives us is a picture of walking. So can I ask you, which way are you walking? Now remember, this isn't about earning something from God. We are already his beloved children. But are we living as God's beloved children, or are we living as if we're alienated from him? Well, our second point and the second picture that Paul gives us is of getting changed out of old clothes and into new clothes. Do you see that down there in verse 20 through to 24? It's about putting off our old selves, our old way of lives, and putting on our new self, our new way of life. Perhaps it's a bit easier if we think about it this way. I don't know if you're into football, but we're approaching the start of the summer transfer window, June the 14th, the start of that period in the summer when footballers can switch teams. Now, come August, when the season starts again, it would make absolutely no sense for a player who's swapped from one team to another, it would make no sense for him to keep on wearing the kit from his old team. He's to wear the kit of his new team. And that's what's going on here. Paul tells the Ephesians and us, have a look down at verse 22. He tells us to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to, do you spot it here? Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Putting off our old selves and putting on our new self. Now look, there's a three-step change that's going on here. Just like the footballer that's transferred to a new team and should no longer wear his old football shirt, verse 22, we are to put off our old selves, which belong to our old way of doing things and is corrupt through deceitful desires, like we saw earlier on when Paul was explaining earlier on. But we're not just to do that. Verse 23, we're to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Now, our minds play a huge part in being what we already are. Verse 17, we saw it earlier on. We were futile in our minds. Verse 18, we were darkened in our understanding. Verse 18, again, we were ignorant about God. Well, we're to be renewed, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened that we might know rightly. This isn't about stuffing our heads full of knowledge or facts, but it's about a spiritual renewal in our minds, a work of God in our minds that we might think rightly about God. So that's why it's a really great idea to take notes in sermons. It's a really great idea to pray before we come to church, before we go to gospel team, before we go to students, to pray that the Spirit would renew our minds as we hear from God's word. So having put off our old selves, having our minds renewed, we're to, verse 24, do you see it down there? To put on our new self. It's a new self that has already been created. Did you spot that in verse 24? It's already happened. We are to put on what we already are. And it's been created. Do you see down there, verse 24? Created after the likeness of God. Now that brings to mind Genesis chapter 1, doesn't it? When God first created the first humans in his likeness. So this here, what we're seeing here, what we're reading here, isn't about becoming a different person, okay? You're not called to stop being you and to become someone different. No, this is about becoming who we were always supposed to be, about becoming who we are, but more so in the Lord Jesus. Because in the Lord Jesus, chapter 2, verse 10 tells us we were created in him and we are growing in his likeness. That's why it says, in true righteousness and holiness down there. So the second picture, if the first picture was about the way that we walk, the second picture is about changing out of our old clothes and putting on our new clothes. So again, can I ask you, are you putting off your old self? Are you putting off your old self and putting on your new self, who you really are? Or are you clinging to that old wardrobe and running away from who you really are? Well, our third point, our third picture, is down there in chapter 4, verses 25 to 32. And this is where it starts to get really practical. We've had the two very visual points here, the visual pictures. We've now got the very kind of practical picture. And in this third section, Paul starts to explain what it looks like. And he says this, it's like turning outwards from loving ourselves to loving others. So rather than loving inwards, we're to start to love outwards. Again, it's not about becoming something different. Please hear that very clearly. It's about walking like the Lord Jesus rather than the way we used to walk. And it's about putting on our new selves rather than having taken off our old selves. Paul talks about five areas of life here, which we're going to see. And in each one, there is a turning outwards in love and a reason for why we should do it. And so as we go through these, just listen, just kind of listen to what the Spirit's saying to you. Which of these speaks most challengingly to you? So the first one's down there, verse 25, do have a look down. And it's where Paul talks about how we use our mouths. Verse 25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. So rather than speaking untruths to each other, we're to speak truthfully to each other. That's the movement here, from untruth to truth. turning from speaking lies to speaking truth. So that means honesty. It means admitting. It means not covering up. Why are we doing it? Well, verse 25, we're members of one another. We're body parts of the same church, the church which is Christ's body. And we're fellow citizens, we're brothers and sisters here. We don't need to fear each other because we're reconciled to each other. And truth is the way that we build each other up. Not lying to each other, because verse 21, Jesus is all about truth, and so should his body be. The second area that Paul talks about is how we use our feelings. It's down there in verses 26 to 27. Verse 26 says this, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now that first phrase is not a call for righteous anger. If you look down at verse 31, Paul says that we should put away all anger. So it can't be, it's okay to be angry if you don't sin. No, it's a warning. This is a warning. Paul is saying to us, if you become angry, beware, you are at sin's door. So Paul says, especially don't let the sun go down on your anger. Whatever happens, seek reconciliation before the end of the day. And if that's not possible, entrust whatever has happened to the Lord and leave it with him. For vengeance is God's, as Romans 12 says. No, we're to turn away from the anger that we hold on to, that we selfishly cultivate, and instead we're to love like Christ does. Why are we to do that? Well, it's because Satan wants to use our anger to hurt other Christians. Do you see that down there in verse 27? Verse 27 says, don't give Satan an opportunity to ruin things through your anger. Look, there's nothing that Satan would love to do more than to get a toehold, to cause havoc in a church. And anger is one of the things that he loves to use most to get that toehold. So the third area that Paul talks about is down there in verse 28, and it's about how you use your hands. So we've seen our mouths, we've seen our feelings, now we're talking about our hands. Have a look down there at verse 28. Verse 28 says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Now, there are three stages here. There are three kind of steps in what's going on. I wonder, can you spot them? Verse 28. The first step is this. The thief is to no longer steal. And instead, second step, he's to do honest work. He's to use his hands, to use his job, to create rather than taking from others. But more than that, I think we tend to stop there at that. But there's more going on here. And it's this is not just about not stealing. Did you spot that there? It's so that you can give to those who have need. So I wonder, are you starting to see the pattern here? It's rather than turning inwards, we're to turn outwards. We're to turn from selfishness to generosity. Rather than loving ourselves, we're to turn outwards and love others. Our hands have been given to us and our work has been given to us, not just that we might be self-sufficient. That's a good thing, but it's not the only reason we're given hands and work. We're given those things that we might also give generously, just like Christ gave himself for us. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing is down there, 29 to 13, is how we use our mouth. We've talked about being truthful beforehand, but now we're talking about how we are supposed to use our mouths to build up rather than tearing down. Have a look down at 29. 29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, by corrupting talk, Paul means that we should say nothing that damages, nothing that tears down, nothing that wears down. And that includes things like grumbling or complaining or overly harsh criticism. No, instead of that, we're to turn outwards in love, speaking in such a way that builds each other up. You know, speaking in a way that helps people, that does good to them, that's constructive rather than destructive. The reason for why is down there in 29. It's that we might give grace to each other, that we might bless and be kind to each other. But more than that, it's because of what the Spirit has done and is doing amongst us. You see, the Holy Spirit, verse 30, he's sealed us for salvation. He took the gospel and has given it to us. He's shown it to us. He's opened our eyes to see it. He's reconciled us together as people, and he's reconciled us to God. He lives in us, and he's building us up as a temple for the Lord. So if we're tearing each other down with our words, we're working against the Spirit, and he will be grieved by what we're doing. Now, the fifth area that Paul talks about is down there in 31 and 32, and it talks about how we relate to each other. So verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor," that means shouting and arguing, "and slander be put away from you, along with all malice," that means abusive speech. We're to turn from all of that to verse 32, do you see it down there? To being kind to one another, to being tender-hearted, forgiving one another. The reason for why is that wonderfully, we ourselves have been forgiven by God. Now look, that's wonderful news, isn't it? That's wonderful, wonderful news. Because if we're honest, we stand here, we sit here this evening as people who have messed up this week. We're here as people who've not walked as we should have. We're here as people who have clung to our old ways of life. But this verse says that God forgives us. You know, we never move beyond that needing that forgiveness. But wonderfully, God never moves beyond showing this kind of forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful news? You see, our God is a God of great love. He's a God who's rich in mercy. He's immeasurably rich in grace and kindness towards people like us. He's a God of forgiveness, which is wonderful news. And so we're to be what we already are. We forgive because we ourselves have been forgiven. We're kind to each other because God has shown us the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We're tender-hearted towards each other because we have been loved by God with such a great love when he made us alive in Christ. So that's where it all flows from. Christ forgave us, Christ loved us, Christ gave himself up for us that we might be adopted as God's beloved children. Look, this isn't about earning anything extra. It's about being what we already are. It's about growing in the family likeness, imitating our Father. So what's Paul been saying to us this evening? He's saying, don't walk as you used to, but walk like Christ does. He's been saying, put off your old self and put on your new self, who you already are. Turn outwards in love like Christ turned towards us in love. Amen. Well, we're going to take a couple of moments for quiet reflection. What's the Lord been laying on your heart this evening? What's he been saying to you? Where have you been challenged? Where have your eyes been lifted to the Lord Jesus? We're going to take a few moments just to reflect. And then in the moment of silence, perhaps pray and ask the Lord for help. And then we're going to sing our final song. So if the musicians would like to come up as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful Lord Jesus. Thank you that he loved us, that he gave himself up for us, that we might be adopted as your beloved children. Father, would you help us to be what we already are? Help us to not walk as we used to, but help us to walk as Christ does. Help us to put off our old selves and to put on our new selves, and help us to turn outwards in love, like the way the Lord Jesus has turned towards us in love. We need your help in this, so we pray, Holy Spirit, would you be at work in us, and would you give us the desire and the ability to be what we already are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our final song, shall we? Let's stand and sing.